Donna Patton. I'm here with Josh, Pastor Josh, and this is Jesus-Centric Leadership.
Yes,
and the
it is.
Reason for my hesitation is we are actually re-recording this episode because we got about halfway through it, and it just kind of went off the rails a little bit. So, and you're about to understand why. So, I want to pick up where we left off in episode 26. So the common thread that I'm hearing is that emotions can't lead my truth. Only Jesus can.
Yep.
And emotions can't lead how I receive or give grace. It comes from Jesus.
Yep.
And now we're going to add this third component, that God has given power.
Yeah.
All right. But this is where we get a little, because you're going to talk about the two kingdoms.
Yep.
You're gonna really challenge some of our thought. And the reason we got a little derailed is because how the church looks at it and how we live it in our practical lives can sound very challenging.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, let's make sure we define the church right off the bat, too. So the church is the people of God gathered in Jesus' love. And so we don't mean a building, we mean the people. But then because it is people, we have buildings, we have institutions, we have governance, we have all these things. But ultimately, we mean the people that are loved in Jesus Christ. That's the church. But we also have to understand that God has given truth and grace to the church. So the biggest thing the church does
to
God's people, God has given truth and grace to God's people. That's ours. And we're called to exercise with that. We're called to govern with that. We're called to do everything we do as a church through that lens of truth and grace. But there's another part of the world that we have to make sure and understand, but keep separate. And that's the kingdom of power. So we have the kingdom of God, God's people, the church, and now we have the kingdom of power. That's the world. And so Jesus says it this way in Mark 12:17, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's, right? He's making that clear distinction. Paul's going to establish it even more in Romans by saying, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, those that exist that have been instituted by God. So it's kind of a shocking statement, but it's really a question of how do these two things not necessarily function together, but how do they function in the world? How do we need the people of God to show grace and truth? How do we need the government to exercise power?
Okay, so you mentioned the G word, government.
Yes.
So already our listeners will probably have some heightened
awareness. We're not going to tell you how to vote.
Okay.
Yep, just rest easy. But we got to talk a little bit about the government, a little bit about the kingdom of power.
All right, so you told us what you're not telling us. We're not telling you how to vote.
Yep.
What are we telling?
I think you need to understand what the role of the church is, the people of God, and what the role of the government is, and how they're separate but both needed in a good society.
So let's start with the government. What's the role of the government in the kingdom?
To exercise power. Sometimes it's called exercising the sword. So we need the government to maintain justice. We need the government to protect our country. We need the government to make laws and regulations. We need the government to do certain things. And again, depending on where you are, you have different ideas about what level. And we're not really talking about the level of power and authority. We're just talking about there needs to be some sense of power that's exercised. That's why St. Paul can say that those government exist for a reason. In 13 verse 2, he says, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. The government is instituted by God to make laws, to protect people, to do certain things in the world.
But our government doesn't necessarily rely on God.
Correct.
So how does that work?
Yeah, so I think we go back to the Roman government, right? They're killing Christians, and Paul's saying, hey, listen to them. They have a role to play. And so the reality is the government, God can use the government without the government totally following God. If God can use a donkey in the Old Testament, then God can use people that sometimes aren't even Christian in order to do things. And sometimes they do it poorly and they mess up, but that doesn't negate the fact that there needs to be this power structure in order.
But I have a responsibility as a Christian to listen to my government.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if my government tells me something wrong that's against God's truth?
Yeah, and that's where we have to, we obey God rather than men, right? It's kind of that simple. But I would just say make sure that you read the Bible and make sure you understand that you're disobeying the government, not disobeying the politics of the government, if I can say that. So they may disagree with what you think is right, but that doesn't mean that everything, that what you're thinking is coming from the Bible. You're allowed to have other opinions about how this power structure is put together, about who's in power, about how the government should work. You're allowed to have different opinions on that, but just ask yourself what of those come from the Bible and what of those don't.
Okay, so I'm going to pick something hopefully that's not super controversial.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
So my government says that different substances are legal.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
That we can do that. But yet the Bible says I should never do something that's out of control, right? I shouldn't lean more on something than I do God.
Yeah.
All right. So how does that work?
Yeah, I think you got to live out your convictions in your life, but not expect that the government's going to make everybody else live out your convictions. Does that make sense? Like, I think we'd love for the government to expect other people to live out Christian convictions, but that might not always happen. And so if the government says that this is permissible, your call as a Christian is to say, well, we're not going to do that in my church. Because that goes against God's truth, and I'm not going to do that, but I can't expect the government to tell the world not to do that.
And then my teachings, like to students or to adults, is that we should never lean on something more than we lean on God.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really important.
Yeah. Well, and at some level, like, let's remember, if truth is the church's, then we can't expect the government to hold people that are outside the church to the same truth, right? And I think we would like them to. But we can't expect them to. But we can expect that in our church, we're going to uphold that truth, and we're going to live out that truth, and we're going to ask people to follow that truth.
Okay. So why is this so important to you that we take a whole episode?
Yeah. Well, maybe we don't need it, and, you know. And you'll be like, why'd they do that?
Yeah, we're done in 7 minutes.
So I think we get confused on what the role is. So can we like talk about maybe a simple example that I think clarifies how we operate within truth and grace and how the government should operate with power? So your car gets stolen. What do you do as a Christian?
I call the police.
Yeah. Yeah. You call the police. But pastor, you're supposed to show truth and grace. Like, you got to show grace to that person. You shouldn't call the cops. That they, you got to forgive them.
So that means I pick up on my ring that somebody's trying to break into my car, I probably am going to call the police at that moment versus go out and start sharing the gospel with them.
Yeah. Yeah, because we need the government to exercise power to keep us safe, to have rules and regulations to exercise power to keep us safe. But what if you did this? What if you called me as your pastor while your car is getting stolen, and you says, Pastor, I need the church to exercise their power, right? That'd be awkward. That'd be weird. Or what if you said, you came to church and you said, Pastor, because my car got stolen, I want you to lobby the government to get them to change the laws so my car doesn't get stolen. I would say, well, that's not my role. My role as a pastor, as the leader of this church, this group of people, is to exercise truth and grace. Now, if that person comes into church, well, maybe he's convicted, goes to jail for a year, then walks into church, then that's where we get to exercise truth and grace. We get to say, yeah, that was wrong. We get to maybe we get to tell him to go confess his sins to his brother, confess his sins to church, but then we get to show grace. And that's why where the kingdom of God works. But when we get this out of line, it gets funny. Or if we expect the government to show grace to that person, you're asking them to do a role that's outside of theirs, and it gets a little funny because they should be exercising punishment. And they should be having, making people have restitutions for what they've done wrong. That's what they do in power.
So is an example of both and. So we had an accident on our campus. A car, something happened. One car came into our building. Another one almost hit our church sign, our brand new church sign. When we were on the scene, we didn't know who was right, didn't know who was wrong. The police were there. They were ticketing, and people were getting into ambulances. But we had a few moments to minister to a family, not knowing if they were right or wrong, but just, hey, we're praying. What are your names? Can we pray for you? Can we? We're here if you need anything. Is that the both and?
Yeah, I think it is, because again, it's what is the role of the church? What is our tool? Our tool is the gospel. That's our tool. The tool of the government is the sword, the power, the ability to make people do something. And even as a church, we need both. We need the cops to come and investigate them and figure out what happened. They ruined our building, right? And so that's the reality. But I think
we get the privilege to love and to show grace.
Absolutely. Thanks for jumping in. That was good. But yeah, and I think when it comes into politics, when it comes into your life, asking this simple question, what role needs to happen here? What role does my boss need to fulfill? What role do I need to play? What kingdom am I a part of? And for Christians, our answer is we're always a part of both kingdoms. But there's some places where we interact. But what we don't want is the church looking for power. That gets really funny. When we look for that the church wants to seek power in this world, that gets a little funny. That's like the Crusades happened because the church was seeking power. But what we want to do as a church is how do we show truth and grace and how do we embody that? And then how do we as Christians trust the government to do their role and not necessarily do it from a Christian perspective all the time, but do it from a what's true, what's good for our country.
So it's almost reminds me of Christmas. I get really irritated at Christmas because I'll be checking out and I'll say Merry Christmas, and the person will either, you know, who's the cashier will either blow me off or whatever, but it's not their... It may be not their tradition, not their belief, whatever. It's not theirs. I don't really get to get frustrated with them.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's not the government's job or Walmart's job to keep Christ in Christmas. It's the church's job. And that's what I want the church to do. I want us to be the ones that get Jesus in the public school system. I want us to be the ones that get Jesus in government. I want the government to exercise power, and I want the church to exercise truth and grace.
Why are you so passionate about this right now? Why is this a whole segment for our leaders to listen to?
First, because I think it reminds us of what our primary mission is. Our primary mission isn't that America looks a certain way. It's that the people around us know who Jesus is. And I think sometimes we can get distracted by government, that we're going to save the world by getting a Christian government. And Christianity can thrive in a good government, in a bad government, in a neutral government. And so the reality of it is whoever wins the next election, we have a really big task to do. And so when we get that caught up on what our role of the church is, then we miss what our really big job is to. And again, I'm not saying don't vote. I'm not saying don't engage in that. I'm not saying don't have an opinions. I think we should actually have good conversations about how we're going to vote. I think that's a healthy thing to do, but we have to remember that the most important thing that at the end of the day, Jesus is ruling over all of it, and we have a mission as a part of the church to share the truth and grace of Jesus in a good world or a broken world.
So I can hold on to whoever I think should win. Let's just say, let's take it off the presidential, the mayor race.
Yeah.
Mayoral race. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And decimate my friendships. Die on every hill to make sure that they are, everybody understands that I'm behind this person.
Yeah.
And not be loving in who I am and not be living out the commission that God's given me.
Yeah, I think that's very, very true. I think that What, as a follower of Jesus, what's your main mission? It's that others might know him. Is the voting important? Yeah. Can you support a political candidate? Absolutely. But what's most important?
Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. It all goes back to Jesus.
Yeah, and I think...
How do I live in that peace? So there is a lot of angst right now, especially around the elections. And how do I live in the peace that at the end of the day, it all goes back to Jesus? Jesus wins. Not the Democrat, not the Republic, not the third party, but Jesus.
I mean, it's that. Like, it just is reminding yourself that over and over and over again. Remind yourself that God can work with any candidate and he can work through any candidate. Reminding yourself that what matters most is the gospel message that we have to share. And reminding yourself that no matter how bad America gets or if America goes away, right, that this mission of Jesus still exists. And I need to pause there and make sure you know I love America. I love this country. I want my kids to grow up with what I have. But at the same time, if Jesus is first, and we know that, then Jesus needs to be first. And we need to remind ourselves that no matter what happens, this is going to happen. And then remind ourselves, too, that the politician's job depends on us thinking that they can solve the problem, that their power can solve the problem, right? That's how they campaign. They say, if you vote for me, I'm going to have the power. It's going to make your life better. Let's remember that the reason our lives matter is because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. Is because he died and rose for us. That's why our lives matter. And so no politician can make your life matter more than it already does. And no politician can take that away from you. That's yours in Jesus Christ. And so remember that they have a role to play, and we should vote, and vote boldly and courageously, and vote your convictions and all those things. But understand that you're affecting the kingdom of power. You're not affecting Jesus' rule and reign with your vote. You're affecting what happens in our world, which does matter, but it's not primary.
I think you wrapped that up great, and I really appreciate how you unpack that and how we can take a look at that. And at the end of the day, just give me Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just give me Jesus. Thanks for listening.